This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, That Sports Show, Joy 94.9. It's Wednesday the 7th of December. Mel in the chair tonight, Stu's absent. But we have an extended one-hour show because the Chicks Talking Footy are on their end-of-season trip. But they couldn't help themselves, some of them. They stayed. I have Fiona and Danae with me tonight. Hello.
Malcolm, it's good to be here.
Yes.
And it is good to hear you, Fee. Skipper, I'm going to have to call you the other skipper. Malcolm, thanks for stretching the interchange bench on That Sports Show.
That's all right.
You're wearing lycra, so you must be nice and cool.
I've been to the gym. I've been to the gym for my rehab again for my knee. It's been an ongoing story for That Sports Show.
Whole season.
Yes, I would be out for a whole season. I would be out for a whole season if I was a football player, but I'm not. Anyway, I'm going to try and help you with our football stories tonight, and I'll be an honorary chick.
Excellent. Yeah. I know you've been wanting to do that for a while.
I have. Yeah. I have been in the panel seat, but I've had my mouth closed every time. Now, we've got a big show tonight because
huge.
We're 1 hour, Fiona. Can I hear you, Fiona?
You can.
Oh, that's better.
Did you not hear me before?
Oh, I think we might have had... We were trying to work out the microphones to start off with, but we finally did.
We're back on it.
We are. We're talking cricket, golf, tennis, motorsport, athletics, gridiron, soccer, and then, of course, AFL for you two. And we have some special guests. Danae, what's our first special guest?
We have a Southern star. I'm pretty excited about Alex Blackwell joining us. She's not playing cricket today, I believe, but I think every other day of the last 3 weeks he's been playing.
She's been winning titles or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, championships, all that stuff.
Yeah, she's one of our leading lights in the cricket world for our country. And Fiona, we also have some other guests in us in the studio today.
Earlier this year, the Chicks Talking Footy team went to the Sports Writers Festival and we heard Angela Pippos and Karen Lyons talking about what's happening with women in sport,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, is something close to our hearts.
And mine.
And yours.
Yep.
Yes, it's true. You've always been a good ally.
Advocate of women's sport. Of everyone in getting out there and playing sport and living a healthy lifestyle, men and women.
Exactly. So Karen and Angela have both been for a long time sports journalists, probably for 2 decades.
Yes.
And have had various careers in all of that. I know Angela's also working on a documentary on the Women's League, the AFL Women's League,
mm-hmm.
and is writing a book. So we're keen to talk to them all about what's happening in that space. So,
And I think that our resident crow, Beck, is probably spewing because Angela Pippos is a South Australian
and a
well-known crow supporter. So
and was the Crows ambassador.
And she was on the sports presenter on ABC News over here for many years, Danae, probably before you came to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And so she was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
She was. And she still is. Because she is an author and a motivational speaker and things like that, and a journalist, so busy person.
I heard her speak at the Boxing Day, the second day of the Boxing Day test.
Yes.
Has an annual breakfast, and some women that I know in Melbourne wanted to go along to that. So that was a real treat, going to the second day of the Boxing Day test
yes.
a couple of years ago, and
yes.
she was the MC, mm-hmm. chatting with Meg Lanning and...
Yes.
And some blokes, but I can't remember.
some blokes who play cricket.
Whoever.
So I'll get straight into news of the week. And firstly up is cricket. Now, men's cricket first, not women's cricket. Australia is finally having a comeback
in the
one-day matches against New Zealand. Now, on Sunday, they played New Zealand in Sydney in front of pretty paltry
23,000.
Yeah, pretty small crowd.
Well, did you go? Did you want to go? Are you going Friday when it's in Melbourne?
Friday is my Christmas party.
Yeah, see?
So I can't go.
Well, it is a serious part of the whole question about the scheduling of cricket.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
This year, it's this one-day series between Australia and New Zealand is jammed in between
two test series. And it's not like the old days where you have the tests right up to about mid-January and then you have the World Series Cup.
Yeah.
And it was more exciting then. I think that it's all over. Yeah, older than everyone here, I think. I think it is very disjointed. It's about when they can get dates and grounds and whatever. And I think the public loses a bit of interest.
Well, one of the big challenges for Cricket Australia is that the Big Bash League, the 2020 competition, is so hugely successful and popular, and that takes that window of opportunity over the Christmas holidays when people just want to watch 3 hours of cricket.
Yeah.
There's a bit of hit and giggle, so to speak.
I mean, it's
skillful and all that. But so that one day, the 50 over a side competition is really the third
Of
the three.
The tests are number two, and the 2020 is the number one now, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and it's amazing. The scheduling is quite tough, and people do lose interest. But firstly, on Sunday, Australia did so well against the Black Caps. Steve Smith hit a record high score of 164 and took an amazing catch. Now, you must have seen the vision of the catch, did you?
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about it.
It was similar to John Dyson's catch in the outfield. Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
Danae?
But it was longer. It took longer to get there to Dyson, didn't it?
Yes, and it was more higher in the air. Yeah.
But so, in fact, not like it much at all.
Well, they were comparing them, and they were comparing one of Ricky Ponting's as well. But apart from that amazing catch and that amazing high score, Australia won the match by 68 runs and had scored 325. And also, Kiwi opener Martin Guptill, he also got a century, 114.
Yeah, he's in good form.
Yeah.
Yesterday, in the second game, the innings of note was... Warner scored 119.
That's right.
But Mitch Marsh scored 76, and he scored three sixes in the last over.
Yeah, saw that. Saw the vision.
Remarkable.
It is. On the news, they said he hit a six, then another six, and then another six.
Yeah.
Now, David Warner, by getting his century, he hit six hundreds in a season and broke the Australian record of Ricky Ponting, who hit five in 2003 and 2007, and Matthew Hayden, who also hit five in 2007. But he's way behind Sachin Tendulkar, who hit nine centuries in 1 year in 1998.
Amazing.
But a great effort by the Aussies. Their number one ranked one-day international ranking was on the line.
But no one really cares, Malcolm.
Oh, yes, we do. We want to be number one in everything.
Okay.
And if you ask Alex Blackwell when you interview her, does she want to be number one? Yes, she does.
I'm sure that... Yeah, okay. All right. I'll rest my case.
That's all right. So that's
I've forgotten you're a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got lawyers on our show too, so we know how to deal with you. Just let me think you're right.
Yes. Don't forget, this is That Sports Show, not Chicks Talking Footy with Malcolm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. I'm in the chair. No, we have a good time. And I fondly remember our days when we used to co-host a show, Fiona.
That's right.
In a previous live. Now, moving on to golf. Now, the Australian PGA Championship was held on the Gold Coast at the charming Royal Pines Golf Course, and the winner was Harold Varner III from America, and he was the first American to win the tournament for 30-something years.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. You'd think more would win, but usually Australian tournaments were like, oh yeah, we're not coming here kind of thing, but more and more of them are coming, and he hit a blistering 65 in his last round, and world number seven, Australia's own Adam Scott, hit a 67, but he wasn't able to catch the runaway leader. He came third with 15 under. And the overnight leader after the third round, Andrew Dott, I don't know how to pronounce that, he finished second. So that was the Australian golf news of the week. But, of course, world golf news of the week went to Tiger Woods and his comeback. And that got more coverage on the media than the Australian tournament.
Well, it is Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it is Tiger Woods, former
He's
world
in
number
industry.
One. He is. He only came 15th out of 17 players because he was a bit rusty. He did make a record number of... birdies, 24 throughout the tournament, but then he also hit the most double bogeys with six. So he was going well and going bad. But
how old's Tiger Woods now?
He's 40, 41.
So when a golfer's in their peak?
Golfers can go on and on. They can be good from their 20s right up until their 50s. Now, Peter Senior, who just retired recently, we covered that on that sports show, he was in his late 50s and he won the Australian PGA, whatever it was, only a couple of years ago.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so...
So it's not like football.
No.
No, it's just a walk around and you swing a stick every
day. Yeah, they're not running.
Yeah, that's right. They're not...
And they've got a caddy to carry their clubs.
So they just whack a few balls and keep walking around.
And on some courses, they're allowed to go on a buggy.
It's an amazing game that takes fitness of mind and body, but yes, you can play it for a lot longer.
Yeah, 30 years.
And you can also be injured a lot too because of the shoulder rotation and things like that.
Ouch.
And back injuries. Now, moving on to tennis. Tennis is in hiatus at the moment because the Davis Cup's been won by Argentina last week. But they're still talking about Aussie bad boy Nick Kyrgios. He is at a world career high ranking of number 13. He won three tournaments, but he is more controversial than you wouldn't believe. And do you you would remember, we're all older than Nick Kyrgios, and we're older than probably Mark Philippoussis, who's offering advice. Remember him being the bad boy of Australian tennis.
But don't forget that Roger Federer used to spit the dummy when he was a young player as well, and he became the gentleman of the modern game. So they all have a stage of growing up in the public eye that is different.
That's right. I think Roger used to just get angry with himself and chuck tantrums, and he got told off by his coach, and
that
was
it. Kyrgios does do some special things.
Like he doesn't have a coach. That's the thing.
Sledge other players about who's sleeping with their girlfriends.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's new level.
But Leighton Hewitt used to also be a brat, but he became a gentleman. So hopefully Nick Kyrgios can become a gentleman. So there you go.
Is he halfway through his ban? What's going on there, Malcolm?
He's allowed to play now, so he will be playing.
He took counselling, I think.
Yeah. Now, we've got a couple of messages, actually. Oh, it's from Beck, one of your chicks. Love listening to that Chicks Talking Footy sports show. Great work, guys. And leave the lawyers alone. We are always right, she says.
That's what we led you to believe, Beck.
We love Beck. Now, we have one more message. And Tiger Woods is 40, she says. Okay.
Well, that wasn't the same person.
Oh, that's probably, anonymous person. Maybe it's Anna from Albury. Well, who knows? Now, Daniel Ricciardo came third in the Formula One World Championship this year. And 5 days after winning the world title, Nico Rosberg from Germany announced his retirement because he had reached the peak and there's nowhere else to go.
And his dad drove cars fast for a long time, so maybe he knows what impact on your family is like.
That's
over a long time.
That's good right. He's well got done. A wife and a young child. And, of course, Mercedes now have a vacancy. And Red Bull, who are Daniel Ricciardo's bosses, have said, hands off our Daniel, please. Please. And so we'll see what happens. And Sebastian Vettel, who now drives for Ferrari, he's also got 1 year left on his contract with them. So who knows who Red Bull are going to get. Usain Bolt, track and field. He said he could have done better when he was younger if he'd tried harder.
You're not putting enough effort there, Hussein.
And he was a
participation award for you.
He was a 200-metre specialist, and if he'd done the 100 earlier, he would have done better. So he will be retiring next year after the World Championships in London. And briefly in US sport, Tom Brady, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, he broke the record of Peyton Manning for the most NFL wins by a quarterback when his team beat the LA Rams 26-10, and he's now had 201 wins, so that's amazing. Australian soccer has had its awards announced, and Harry Kewell has been acknowledged as one of the greatest talents the country has been awarded by being awarded the Alex Tobin Medal for the highest honour handed out by the Players Union. And, of course, Lydia Williams from the Matildas and Melbourne City goalkeeper was named Female Player of the Year.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And Aaron Moy was named the Male Player of the Year. So that's fantastic effort there by our Aussie soccer players.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Danae is now going to talk to Alex Blackwell, Southern Stars, who is on the line now.
The Chicks Talking Footy team have been looking forward to talking with our first guest for some time. It's a tricky time of year to catch up with Alex Blackwell. Southern Stars' Judy has seen her play all over the East Coast recently, up against South Africa. And just last weekend, Alex and her New South Wales Breakers teammates won the Women's National Cricket League title for the umpteenth time. In fact, it was her 15th final in her career with New South Wales. Congratulations, Alex.
Thank you, Danae. And, I forgive you for not knowing exactly how many titles New South Wales have won. I also don't know.
Here we go.
Wonderful position to be in, that we've won many. An absolute honour to captain that New South Wales side. And now I turn my attention to captaining the Sydney Thunder.
That's fantastic. Firstly, I know that you've played 15 finals in the WNCL. How has the competition changed since you first started playing for New South Wales?
Well, it was just a dream to be a professional cricketer when I first started, you know, a really sort of far away dream. And now I can say in my sort of 13th year as an Australian player, and I think I have been around for 15 or 16 years for New South Wales, I'm now a fully professional athlete. And
Woohoo! We all cheers that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked to, cricket's my job and I absolutely love it. And that's the dream, isn't it? To do something that you love
absolutely.
And get paid for it.
And is the pay parity between women and men in sport has been quite topical over the last year. Is that... are you experiencing equality in that in cricket, or is there still a bit of a way to go with that?
Is that equality in terms of pay?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, there's still a way to go, but, you know, the men were not always professional either. So, go back 30 years and the guys weren't really on the pay that they are now, obviously.
Sure.
So, look, we know that it's a stepwise process and Cricket have made good strides in that regard. But, I guess what we want is that men and women are paid equally for the work that they do, and that's included mm-hmm. in sport. So we're on the way.
You'll be the captain of the Sydney Thunder in WBBL2, which kicks off this weekend. That's right, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll be captain of the Sydney Thunder again in the second WBBL, and we were victorious in the first year, and our men's team also won.
So
I've just been in a meeting there with Shane Watson, who's the men's captain, and look, we're both really looking forward to leading the club again, hopefully to two more trophies. But look, it's just a wonderful region to represent, Western Sydney, a very fast-growing region of Australia, and a very diverse region too. So obviously it's a real privilege to captain this side.
That's great. I'm looking forward to watching. I hope you don't have injury curse, because I see that Shane has injured his calf, is that right? Please don't get hurt. You're in a rich vein of form.
Yeah, look, I'm fully fit. Unfortunately, Shane has a calf injury, which is well known. But, yeah, look, getting out there on Saturday at North Sydney Oval at 6 p.m.
Beautiful.
Now, if you can't travel to Sydney to come and watch us, that's fine. You can turn your TV on. It's on live, free-to-air, Channel 10. And
so
this is
fantastic.
This is a real landmark moment in women's sport.
We're so thrilled about that. North Sydney Oval's a beautiful place to watch a live game, but being able to watch on free-to-air, I've been watching the Southern Stars online, the recent games, but being able to just turn on Channel 10 and watch the cricket is fantastic.
Yeah, well, every single WBBL game is either on TV broadcast or it's live streamed. So, you know, it's a real shift this year. Hopefully more eyeballs on the screens and more bums on seats.
Alex, we've had a question from one of our listeners, actually. They've just sent in a message. It's Ben. He said, what are Cricket Australia doing in the LGBTI space?
Oh, look, there is some movement there. I'm not fully formally a part of the Sport for All program, which is really all about diversity in every sense. So I'm formally involved, actually, as a ambassador for the All Abilities Cricket Carnival, which is deaf, blind and intellectually disabled cricketers.
Fantastic.
And I'm really passionate about that. Mm. So from the LGBTI space, I'm not so much formally involved. So we'll have to keep watching this space, I think.
Well, we know you've been nominated for the Sports Personality of the Year in the LGBTI Awards. What does that recognition mean to you?
Well, it's a bit strange for me. I mean, to be awarded for just being yourself. I mean, but I know that my visibility is incredibly important. And many women in the past in my sport haven't been able to be or felt that they've been able to be visible like I have. And one of the great things has been, you know, past players coming up to me and saying, Alex, thanks so much for saying what you're saying and being yourself because we felt we couldn't. And, you know, that's really important to me. It's simply about being my whole self at work, and I think you're a more productive and more successful person when you are your whole self.
That's right.
That's really important.
When you're hiding your true personality, you know the stress on you doesn't enable you to perform to your best.
Yeah, I think so. And also within a team environment, you want all sorts of different characters. You want them to bring all their different quirks and differences and different perspectives. And I think that's what I always encourage as a leader of the various cricket teams I'm a part of is, you know, we don't want anyone to hide who they are, and we also want them to be able to be their full self because you never know what that person might bring if they feel completely a sense of belonging. And, yeah, I'm proud to say that in the Sydney Thunder, we're really generating that, and we're going to be a team to watch this year.
Yes, we will. We'll be watching. Alex, I understand you're doing postgraduate study with a special focus on differences in sex development. How's that going? Who do you get to talk about your study with at cricket training?
Oh, look, I give little lessons on the flights whenever I go anywhere. Jess Cameron, who's playing for the Melbourne Stars, I gave her a lesson on intersex conditions, which is something I'm really passionate about. I'm a genetic counsellor, and I guess I fully understand that gender is not binary, and you know, biological reasons where an individual could be born with both traits of male and female. So, you know, I guess I'm passionate about that area. It's a real sort of niche area from a health point of view. And, yeah, that's where my postgraduate study is currently.
That's fantastic. We could talk to you about a lot more, your study, your role in our community, and thank you for being out and proud. Or just your cricket. That would be good too. but we don't have any time today. So thank you very much for chatting with Joy 94.9. Good luck to the Sydney Thunder in WBBL2.
Thank you very much. As always, it's great to be on the show. And, yeah, just shout out to everyone and tune in to Channel 10 and watch the WBBL.
Thank you very much, Alex. We'll talk to you again soon.
So that's Alex Blackwell, the most capped woman to play cricket for Australia. How fantastic is that?
You're
listening to That Sports Show on Joy.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Now, I forgot to tell Fiona and Danae that the other big news of the week was the premiere of Mariah World.
Yeah, but we don't talk about that on the Sports Show.
Oh, we love to have a bit of fun
as
well.
We lost listeners then. Please come back.
We don't have enough time to talk about the sport that we want to talk about.
I know. I just wanted to see your reaction when I was playing Mariah Carey.
Terrific. It's over now.
Yeah.
we vomited in the boundary line. We're back.
But she's about sporting heroes, and it was all about the heroes of the AFL.
She also dated James Packer. She lost me there.
Okay, on to your part now, Fiona.
Yes. Now, earlier this year, the Chicks Talking Footy team, we went to the Sports Writers Festival.
One of our many excursions.
We do love an excursion. Mm-hmm. And there we saw a panel, Angela Pippos and Karen Lyons and Danielle Warby, who's also been on the show, and Chloe...
Salto.
Was also there. And we talked about what's happening in women's sport, and it was a great night. Questions went on for about an hour and a half after the panel discussion. And so I went up to the ladies and asked them if they'd come on the show. So welcome, Angela Pippos and Karen Lyons, to the Sports Show.
Thanks for having us. And hi, Karen.
Hi, Ange.
Yeah. Have you guys met?
Yeah, and unlike that night, I've got my voice back tonight. I was a bit...
That's right.
Yeah, I had a terrible cold. the night of the sports writers, so I'm in full voice, so look out.
It was a good night, though, wasn't it?
Was a great night.
Yeah.
And I hadn't met Danielle before in the flesh.
She's a ripper.
She is fantastic.
Yeah, we've had her on the show twice since then.
Yep.
So lots of stuff was discussed that night. Mm. We solved a few of the problems of the world.
We did. And we decided that the next Sports Writers Festival event next year that focused on women should actually be like a supper club. So we're going to bring beanbags and some picnics.
Bring a casserole.
So that we could really just
wine.
Settle in.
Yeah, wine. I'm with that one. That's why we play sports, so that we can drink wine.
So both of you started your careers off as political reporters. And then crossed the boundary line, excuse the pun, to become sports reporters. I think you've both been involved in sports and particularly passionate about women in sport over the last couple of decades. It's definitely an exciting transition time. You know, sure. In the last probably 18 months, 2 years, the whole of women's sport for me has completely gone through a revolution. So it must be
amazing.
An exciting time to still be part of all that.
Yeah, it's really interesting for me because I also work at Melbourne University and teach sport and media and the ideas around sport and inclusion. And this Women's League has been particularly interesting because a number of my students have been drafted.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
And Melbourne Uni has provided, I think, about 18 of the players. And its particular club has been the number one club in producing players for this Women's League, and it's been great to listen to the young women in my class become engaged and also to talk about some of their colleagues who they know who are being drafted and going on and things like that. So it's been a really, it's not just that it's changing, it's starting to really inspire. So I think it can only be the first step into what will be a real revolution for sport.
And it doesn't have to be those imaginary, well, undefined 5 and 6 year olds that are being inspired. It's actually young women, adolescent women, women a little older than that too.
Well, it's amazing. Initially, netball was the only women's sport, technically. And then the cricket came on board and now AFL's coming on board, and especially Melbourne being the footy town. I'm not sure how it's going to affect maybe in Brisbane and Sydney, but we'll see how that goes. And look, maybe they'll have a rugby league for women eventually.
Well, the NRL is looking at that.
Right. So
that is something that's being discussed as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is that all these sports are pushing each other to do better.
Yes.
It's become a very competitive space, women's sport, finally.
Yeah. Yes.
So they all are vying for the hearts and minds of girls and women, and that's just creating a better deal for women. So
better pay.
Better pay,
yeah.
Some pay.
You're actually paying for their boots now?
Yeah.
We were going to do a crowdfunding to try and pay for their boots, but
no need. There's no denying that the AFL, you know, was responding to that changing landscape.
Mm.
And I know that Gil McLachlan and others believe that this is the right thing to do, and they believe in equality.
Mm.
It also makes good business sense.
Sure.
But they were also, you know, forced to take a good look at themselves. The Big Bash last summer was huge for women.
Yes.
And netball's got a brand new competition, and the Matildas are on the rise.
Yes.
So you've just got to get in there and present your sport as inclusive.
Yeah.
And finally it's happened.
What's been amazing too is just the TV audience and the, you know, online audience that's actually come on board. I mean, the All-Star Women's Game attracted
the ratings were phenomenal.
I think it surprised everybody.
It did. And it surprised the AFL as well. And I was lucky enough to be in the Western Bulldogs rooms after that win, filming for the documentary I'm working on. And Gil stood up and he said something like, you know, you women may not realise it now, but when you wake up tomorrow, things will have changed in a big way for you.
Mm.
And I heard it at the time and I thought, wow, he's really talking it up. I hope he's right.
Yeah.
And he was right, because the momentum that has flowed since that All-Stars has been terrific.
Mm. And I think the AFL has to really focus on their broadcast deals and how they're going to get the game out to the broader community, because as Danielle Warby says, the future of women's sport is online. And so if I can join up as a Fremantle Dockers supporter, as a member, and get access to all the footage of all the games live via my laptop and not actually have to watch channel whatever. then I will. And I think that's a space that has to be looked at. Anyway, sorry, I got distracted.
Karen, I prefer a big screen, though. I like to watch the big telly, not the little laptop.
I think the future of all sport is online. Mm. And this is what's going to democratise sport because, as you say, women and all the different, what we once thought were niche sports, but all these sports can have an avenue to an audience, but they are going to have to work really, really hard. Mm.
Mm. And work together.
And work together.
So my badminton career can finally take off.
It's going to be huge. Mm. But it's because of the way that technology is driving the media and changing the media, content is now so vital. And this is why we're going to see more women's sport on television and online, where people like Google and Netflix and all these people actually become providers of sport. Mm. And interestingly, I've been watching some TV this week and noticing that this, I think it's this Saturday, isn't it, that the Big Bash has got a double header of the women's league all on its own, not around men, all on its own, which goes back to what Angela said, that it was such a success last year. It provides the content, and if it's there, people will watch it. Somebody finally took the gamble, and it's paying off.
And it passes the Alison Bechdel test.
Yeah, of course. we have had a message from a listener, a question from a listener, one of our most favourite listeners.
Betty the Bulldog.
Betty, she's a Bulldog supporter. She says, is there any news about the women's AFL fixture in 2017? I think this links to perennial broadcasting question, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, you know, I've been hearing now for about 6 or 7 weeks that it will be Monday, and it's always the next Monday, and then the Monday after that.
They've been very
Christmas
frustrated.
Is coming,
and
Angela.
And I heard today, I was at AFL House today, and I heard it was tomorrow, but the last thing I heard as I was leaving Carlton training half an hour ago was, it won't be tomorrow. So I think we need to be patient, because my reading of the situation is that the AFL is desperately trying for all matches to be covered in the best possible way.
Fantastic.
So if there is a little bit of argy-bargy, it's okay if we get what we want, and that is more
women
coverage.
Women on free-to-wear telly.
Absolutely.
That's
so
what we
need to be patient, and I'm excited to see how it all lands, and we should know this week, but it sounds like it's not tomorrow.
Okay, so Betty's been emailing Tony Jones, 3AW. She's really trying to find the answer. So there you go, Betty. You've heard it live from now, Angela Pippos.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
You are on That Sports Show, but you're also joined by Danae and Fiona from the Chicks Talking Footy Show. We're partnering together.
We are. We're having fun.
For a new venture. We have some very special guests in the studio tonight, Angela Pippos and Karen Lyons.
I think you're just one lion.
Karen Lyons likes to... You know, I'm trying to make a sentence that makes it make sense.
Yeah. You're digging a hole.
No one's going to help me out there. Now, Angela, you've been working on a documentary called League of Her Own. You've been following the women's AFL and going right around the country at their practice sessions and all sorts of things. Tell us what's going on there.
It is the best project I've ever worked on. It is so exciting. It's nice
That's
to work on
a call. It's a big call for
you.
Yeah,
it is a big call. 20 years. I celebrate 20 years as a sports journalist next year. And for most of that time, there wasn't much change for women. Mm. There was a lot of talk, but not much action. And in the past 2 years, as you said today, the landscape has really changed. And part of that has been the rise of women in Australian rules football.
So
I put
quick.
This idea to the AFL at the start of the year, and they said, yeah, that sounds great. Go for it. And I said, okay, I will. So I had to sort of sort out the financing, and all of that did fall into place eventually. But yeah, League of Her Own is a look at the rise of women in the sport from the grassroots all the way to AFLW. So
great.
It's the whole landscape. So from the little Oz kickers who feature in the documentary through to AFL women. And the heart of the documentary is three stories. Three women we're following. Mo Hope, needs no introduction. Stephanie Chiocci, who's the former captain of the Western Bulldogs, who's now a Collingwood player, and Taylor Thorne, an Indigenous footballer from Darwin, who's doing the journey from Darwin down to the Adelaide Crows, the mighty Adelaide Crows. So
the pride of South Australia.
I can sing if you'd like.
No.
So last week we were in Darwin with the nine Darwin-based Crows.
Waratahs.
So there are 9 Crows in Darwin.
Yep.
And the rest of the squad in Adelaide. And then we followed that 9 down to wow. the Crows. And we had this fantastic moment in the inner sanctum of the Adelaide Crows where the Beck Goddard, the coach, is a fabulous woman and she's so funny. She introduced the entire team to the Crows family, mm-hmm. to Don Pike, the coach of the Crows, and various other people, and she did it in such a way that was hilarious, and the women were magnificent. And there were tears because just spontaneously the players saying, Matt, yeah. we're here.
Yeah.
You know, we've made such it this moment. Far. It was a beautiful moment. Because, and the crew, Nicole Minchin, the other producer, and I, we've just cried all the way through yeah, the doco because it is so powerful.
Yeah. So is it a 13-week, 2-hour documentary?
It's it could be. It could easily be 13 weeks. We have 1 hour. It's a commercial hour because the doco will be on the 7 network, so that makes it, I don't
42
know,
minutes.
42, 44, 46 yeah. minutes or something. It will run prime time in the week of the first AFL women's game.
When wow. we find out and when that is.
Yeah.
After the tennis.
We know that it's going to start. I think we can safely say that Collingwood and Carlton will kick off AFLW on the Friday night. I hope I'm not breaking protocol by saying that that's really that what too. It's going to be.
Yeah. Oh, the big blockbuster.
It is the big blockbuster. So we'll be on in that week. And it's just been an amazing, yeah, journey for us to follow those 3 women and to meet the important people in their lives who have backed them the whole way. Mm. Mo has a fabulous mum,
as
does
she?
Taylor Thorne. Steph's parents have been with her the whole way, and it's been it's been wonderful. So
I'm so excited.
League of her own.
We all are.
Hashtag League of Her Own.
Yeah. And you're also writing a book Breaking the Mould.
Yeah, that comes out at the same time as the doco.
Right.
Unplanned, wasn't supposed to be like that, but through events out of my control, like the fact that women kept getting all these these great things happening in sport, yeah. I missed my deadline with the book. Sorry, Affirm Press. But as it turned out well that I missed the October deadline, and the book would have been already old if it had gone out in October. So at least now, February, the book comes out, same time as the doco, and the book is looking at the entire sporting landscape in the country. So not just AFL, it's everything.
Right.
And we look at how the landscape became so uneven for women. So the first half of the book is called The Problem and the second half is The Tipping Point.
Wow.
You know, when things really started to change. Mm. So it has a lovely uplifting arc.
So, thanks, Angela. Karen, can you imagine if a book focusing on those issues had come out 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? What sort of reception would we have had?
Well, it would have just been the first half of the book.
Yeah. Just been
the problem.
The lower end of
volume one.
Yeah, volume one. With a dot, dot, dot to continue. And, yeah, I don't think there just wouldn't have been a market for it. It's incredible how things have changed so rapidly, and it's taken us such a long time to get here. It's been all these slow little steps, and then everything's just sort of opened up at once. So I think it's wonderful that there can be a part two to Angela's book, and that we can look around. And I think Malcolm actually mentioned it before, there are now so many sports, and that means so many choices, and it means that young girls starting sport today or playing sport, you know, at the moment, they can stay with what they love. There are so many stories about girls playing football to 14 and then having to move to netball, or girls playing cricket to 14 and then having to move to netball. Mm. And I'm a massive netball fan. I love it.
Mm.
But the fact that women have not been allowed to pursue their passion that's really unfortunate and really sad for those women.
And netball has the challenge of fending off these new sports, because netball's been the established one.
They're all elbows anyway.
It does, so, and that's why they have gone so aggressively with their salary cap and done things like brought in childcare and all sorts of incredible things.
Mm.
And they've finally gone, we are being challenged here and we do have an issue. And after years and years and years of saying, we'll just do everything the same, everything can just stay the way that it is.
Got to change.
They've reacted, and they've reacted really, really well.
They have to, yeah.
And what would your advice to aspiring a sports journalist be?
Don't enter the media.
Okay.
Just don't. No. Just go and find something else to do. No, that's really unfortunate. As someone who teaches media, when my students come up to me and say, oh, yeah, I really want to be. No, that wasn't my intention. No.
That's what I tell to law students.
Yeah, exactly.
Become a lawyer. Yeah. There aren't any jobs.
There are no jobs.
But the platforms have
stay
changed.
Stay here with us now.
But it must feel like, you know, everything you've built in your career is now sort of, there's such an amazing, exciting time.
Yeah, it is. Everything is changing. And while there's huge influx now and huge problems now, in 10 years, I think things are going to be brilliant again. Mm. And it's going to be great that I can tell you throughout my career, there are so many times when I've gone to my editor and said, I would really, really, really love to cover this story because I think it's a fabulous story. And it's been of some young woman doing something amazing. I've been told, no, you have to go to Carlton Collingwood training, not AFLW, but, you know, you've got to go out and listen to the blokes talk again.
And be bored.
Well, you know, you always make that. Look, when you're a sports journalist, it's always fun. But yeah,
have to do your job.
But the fact is what you will get now is when you say, or in the young reporters coming through, when they say, I've got this great story about this young woman who's doing amazing things, people will say, yeah, okay,
yeah,
cover it. Mm. And that's going to be great.
Well, even we found developing the Chicks Talking Footy Show, you know, I thought this is such a unique idea. No one's doing this. And then suddenly within 2 years.
It's taken off.
There's lots of women, you know, the Outer Sanctum girls and all sorts of people, girls play footy. They're all popping up everywhere in this arena as well.
Good. Now, we could talk all night, but we can't. Angela and Karen, thanks for joining us tonight on That Sports Show with Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for having us. Can I just say that Lauren Jackson, the wonderful Lauren Jackson, has endorsed my book. She has read it and her quote is on the front cover and I just couldn't love her anymore.
And we just have a message from someone in Albury where Lauren Jackson is from. My nieces play in the Lauren Jackson Stadium.
Well, I didn't think I could love LJ anymore, but I only just discovered that she's completed her degree in gender and diversity this year, so I now love her even more than I did.
I love her more. we'd love to have you back on the show once your documentary's being released as well.
And the fixtures are out.
And the fixture of 2017's been released.
Right. Mm.
And Karen as well to talk about what's happening with the Women's League at that time. Mm-hmm. It's been so fantastic to talk to you. So thanks for taking the time to come into the studio tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Now, briefly, Fiona and Danae, do you want to talk a few AFL headlines before we...
Jared Roughhead.
Yes, he's back.
He's back.
Yes.
I think that I'm a Hawthorn supporter, so I'm... Oh. You know.
I know. I'm a Bombers supporter and I think, well, it's only the way is up from here, but who do I go for in the Women's League?
Crows or Dockers?
Oh, because they're your team and her team.
I'd say the Crows.
Oh, no, the Crows are going to be sensational. They are going to
I'll
be
think
sensational.
About it.
Can I also say my team doesn't have a team either. Yeah. I'm Merrick for North Melbourne and I'm very annoyed that we didn't get a team for lots of reasons, partly because North Melbourne have been an incredible supporter of women's footy.
Yeah.
And the huddle is awesome.
I was going to do the whole I'm not going to Barrack for anyone.
Oh, you have to.
No, because I thought it would be a really good opportunity to be impartial. And I really look at it critically, but also I think that Freo and the Crows both deserve a pat on the back for having a female coach.
Well done. Now, briefly, Susan Alberti has retired as a director from the Western Bulldogs, but she's not leaving the club fully. She is promoting the Women's League.
So. No, Albo is awesome.
She is. I saw her on the show. Yes. And then new bomber Andrew McGrath is going to wear number one for our Essendon Bombers.
Care factors here.
a lot for
He's
my
number
team.
One draft pick.
Only way is up, number one, and that's right. And then... quickly, and a funny one for you, Fiona, one of your Hawks had their car
Porsche.
Nicked. His Porsche.
Porsche.
He earns too much.
No, they actually broke into his house and he had to confront them.
Yes.
And he said, I have to confront Hodgie, this is nothing. So
that's a horrible story.
That's right. Anyway, we've had a blast tonight. We've spoken cricket, golf, tennis, motorsport, athletics, gridiron, soccer. Of course, we've spoken to Alex Blackwell from the Southern Stars, an awesome. Amazing athlete. And, of course, we've had Karen and Angela in the studio with us. And
Karen still, Lyon.
Yeah, Lyon, that's right. Got it right. we'll be back next week for another 1 hour of that sports show and possibly with some chicks talking footy because AFL never goes away, does it? Even though you're on your AFL end of season trip.
Yep.
Out with another song from Mariah Carey.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I'm having a theme every week.
I'll see you back at 9 o'clock.
And next week I'll have another theme. I'll think of another theme for
Thanks
song.
For having us.
Thank you, Danae. Thank you, Fiona. This is Malcolm and Stuart. Maybe back next week. That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.